What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List Podcast. It's Brian and Nick here to cover all of the week six shenanigans, except for the Monday night games. And then, of course, the week seven waiver wire. How you doing today, man?
Doing awesome, man. Beautiful day in Colorado. I got some family in town, just spending time with my puppy. Pretty good fantasy week for me, too. So I'm pretty happy coming into Monday night.
Well, way to start it off real great. He's here bragging to us all as we are suffering through all these injuries. I guess I was hit or miss.
You're all doing well. If you've been here for the last 6 weeks, then you should be doing pretty good.
This is true. Yeah, probably three quarters of my leagues I did pretty good. Handful of them just absolutely demolished. I sold my soul, I guess, to get through a chopped league. I'm going to get through with the skin of my teeth. But yeah, all in all, not a bad showing. We've got a handful of injuries to break down for you. We have some booms, some busts, and of course, waiver wires and a little trade talk there at the end. I better jump into it. We got quite a bit to talk about today. You ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty then. Oh my goodness. I don't know how Baker is not number one as far as MVP odds, because yet another. Like, could you imagine what Baker would be like this year if he had a fully healthy Igbuka, Chris Godwin's, Mike Evans, and Jalen McMillan?
Yeah, absolutely wild. I mean, this is somebody we talked about as a sell probably 3 weeks ago, and it was because of the injuries and coming off of some hot performances, but it doesn't seem to matter. Like, nope. Everyone who gave up on Baker years ago, he has just come back with a vengeance, and he is so much fun to watch. That it must have been a third and long, but that run that he had at the end of the game.
That breakaway, yeah.
Yep, just Baker to a T. So exciting. The pass to Tez Johnson, very late. Beautiful pass, beautiful catch. Probably one of the best of the year so far, but yeah.
Just the fingertip grab.
Yeah, what more do you want? You see all these guys, these gloves are so incredible these days, and you see all these terrible drops all the time. So it was nice to see a beautiful over-the-shoulder fingertip grab there.
Yeah, so hopefully we do continue to see that magic there. But, of course, Mecca Buka, we have to have a fourth injury to the starting wide receivers here. So we're really going to have to dig into the waiver wire for that one. Looks like they're saying it's not that bad, anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks, though. So waiting for more news, checking it out.
It's a hamstring, so that's never good. And he had no chance of coming back into the game, so it doesn't really bode well for next week.
Marvin Harrison Jr., almost had a career day. Would have had the best quarterback playing he's seen since he's come into the league, but no, he missed it. Came short with a concussion. Missed out on the debut there in Indianapolis to show off in his dad's old turf. But concussion, probably out for a week, most likely. And I believe they have the bye week the week after.
Yeah. Not much you can do there. Concussion is bad. So you just hope for the best for him and hope he can get back on the field soon.
Yeah, it stinks that it's almost an auto out now for these guys with these concussions, but end of the day, it's probably what's for the best.
It's definitely what's for best.
Well, not our fantasy teams, but you know, we take that in consideration, we weigh them out, and somehow the other players, we look out for them. Puka Nacua. Boy, this one hurts. This one hurts. This has been just like everybody's talk. Hey, if we redrafted today, Puka Nacua 101 in most drafts. Foot, ankle injury somewhere in there. Probably going to be out for a little bit.
Yep. It was surprising to see him return to the game, but it looks like he's going to be out for a few weeks at the very least.
And
I was going to say Stafford didn't look great without him, even in kind of a dream matchup versus Baltimore, but yeah, not great for Puka. It was exciting to see him on like a record breaking trajectory this year. So
yeah. And another player with a week 8 bye. So we'll definitely, we'll miss him next week for sure, and hopefully 2 weeks is all we need. Fred Warner, dude, this one's more just the 49ers.
It's just the 49ers.
Like Nick Bosa, you know, they lost what last week, the week before. Fred Warner, now they've lost. Everyone, like we'll tag in here, Juwan Jennings came out after the game, after we decided to put Juwan Jennings in, or after we sat some of the other players coming out to find out. Five broken ribs. Dalton Kincaid out. Just saw that pop across my screen. Sorry, folks. We're recording this right before the game.
Leave this podcast for a minute.
Right, and have a little pivot time here. But yeah, Fred Warner, 49ers, they're hurting. They're hurting real bad. All right, and then, of course, we got word right as the 1 o'clock games were about to kick off, or whatever time frame you are, the early games, the non-international early games. But Omarion Hampton... So it's not season-ending IR, but it's not just going to be 4 weeks. So I don't know how to take that. That's obviously not good news when we're starting off with, like, it's not the worst of the worst. It's not going to be 12 weeks, but it could be 10 weeks is kind of what I heard. Like, just my spiraling, my death spiral that I was going down.
Yeah, it could be anything. Hopefully you have an IR spot that you can just throw them on and not have to burn it, because it is really hard to drop somebody like that and then try to play that game of when you can pick them back up as the season comes a little bit closer. And plus, apparently Kamani Vidal is the best player in the league. Duh. And he's just been hidden away this entire time. So yeah, that one hurts for sure.
Garrett Wilson, he had an MRI today looking at some knee issues. Nothing structurally damaged from what I read, but I guess there's a chance that he could miss some time just to, you know, this is the future of the franchise. They are not winning anything, literally. They're winning nothing this year. He is the future of theirs, so they don't need to push this. And when you have backups like Alan Lazard, why would you force it? Come on.
He injured his knee. I mean, this is one of the worst QB performances I've ever seen out of Justin Fields. I mean, this game was really bad.
Whoa. From start to finish. Out of Justin Fields or out of all quarterbacks?
I mean, everybody, but I was specifying that it was Justin Fields.
This is like Kendall Hinton status. You remember that? The COVID game, the Broncos fill in? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that bad.
Except he's supposed to be decent. Like, no one had any expectations for Hinton. But on the play, too, he got injured. He played through it. Garrett Wilson obviously got Pat Surtained like everybody does. Mm-hmm. Pat Surtained like everybody does. And we talk about it every week. But he was, like, open, and Fields was 3 seconds late. He was open the entire time. He threw it behind him. He ended up getting injured. It was so frustrating to watch because – they needed that play so bad. He's staring him down. He runs a 5-yard out. The cornerback is like 9 yards off, and he just waits so long for it to develop. And then he ends up throwing behind him. Wilson gets hurt. It was just maddening. Like the worst sequence of events to watch in a football game.
Freaking and my maddening.
Poor fiance had to listen to me just like rattling off just like how bad he is at actual quarterback.
Nope, we left. We went to go have brunch, and we watched the rest of the game from my phone at the table because I was like, this isn't worth watching. This is dumb.
No, it was a terrible game.
Ridley pulled a hamstring, so, I mean, we'll be talking about the repercussions of that there in the waiver wire. I don't really know if it's that big of a deal. This one, it kind of is, though. Again, we'll talk about it in the waiver wire, but David Njoku, knee injury. Looks like we might be missing a little bit of time there. Doesn't look like it's too bad, but just might be another precautionary. We're still waiting for more information on that. I mean, but Fannin, though. I'm excited.
Yep. You got to be pumped if you picked up kind of. Yeah. I mean, as excited as you can be for a piece of the Browns offense, that's not Quinshon. But
speaking of a piece of Brown, that's what they dropped on a Sunday morning as well, with this whole Bam Knight for the Cardinals is going to be the starter. And then all of a sudden, Michael Carter owners are tilting. Their faces just all over the floor. Well, DeMarcado, the one that got yelled at, all the drama that we got from that ankle injury, probably going to miss some time. Now they're down to their third and fifth string running backs with Michael Carter. Brissett? Yeah, with Jacoby Brissett, which he played pretty well.
Might have been an improvement.
For some reason, we missed the boom section, but he's going to be an honorary booms for him. Because, I mean, do we really want to talk about Brissett? No, but we should.
I love Brissett.
Right? Patriots fan. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the today's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I love that. He's going to be ripping his shirt off on camera here pretty soon then. All right, let's get to these booms. I cannot wait to talk about Drake May. It's going to be May. It's all over us. It's here. It's happening. I talk about it all the time, but I can't stand the Patriots. So how will I find myself rooting for him and this team is beyond me. But 18 for 26, 261 through the air, 3 passing touchdowns. Looked awesome.
Yep, 9 for 28 on the ground as well. He's kind of missing that rushing upside the last few weeks, and that was hampering his fantasy output a little bit. But, yeah, really exciting to see. Obviously, it was the Saints, but this is kind of an underdog story, and I feel like maybe that's why you want to root for him. You know, he was the third quarterback taken in the draft, even though it was his third pick. But he was put into the worst position of the three of them, which is kind of interesting. You could argue that Jaden Daniels had a pretty similarly bad, but he had no receivers, no offensive line, and arguably is elevating all of these guys to a status that not a lot of other players could. And he still doesn't have a very good offensive line. So he's really making all this stuff happen. They have no run game. There's no threat of them rushing at this point. So it's all May right now. And I'm excited for the future of the Pats.
Speaking of young, bright futures, we've got another one seems to be developing there in New York. And no, it's not for the Jets. They are an internal pain. It's the Giants. Yes, first round pick Jackson Dart gets another start this week. Oh, Mario. Oh, Mario, for the folks, if you didn't notice, he is missing this week. Getting married this week, so we won't see him till week 8. But it's, week 9. Oh my gosh, we won't see him till week 9. But either way, Mario, you missed out because I'd be giving you such a hard time about this. The Eagles just got absolutely destroyed in a 17-34 loss to the Giants. Jackson Dart, Cam Scatabo, we'll kind of loop them together. These two look like it's going to be a fun future for the Giants.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go Russell Wilson there. I wasn't even thinking about the Eagles, but I know he was a big Russell Wilson guy before the season. But Dart looked pretty good out there. 195 yards passing, one touchdown, 58 yards on the ground and another. That's kind of the reason he's sitting at QB3 on the day. Curious to see the future. He was admittedly somebody we said kind of stay away from as a streamer for the next few weeks because of the matchups, but he definitely surpassed all our expectations and looked pretty good out there, especially with no Malik Nabers.
I will say Denver absolutely gobbles up the rushing quarterback. We just saw that with Justin Fields. We've seen it with Jalen Hurts. We've seen it with several guys. So, and they play Philly the week after that, and I don't think Philly's going to let them get away with what they just did. I think they're going to get a nice romping in week 8. So I still think that Jackson Dart is scary to play, at least in a single quarterback, over the next 2 weeks. But yep, going forward, it's the magic. It's the swagger. Sometimes you get swagger points in fantasy football. Sometimes good stuff just happens to guys that go out there and ball.
Yeah, you put on one side of your face with eye black, and apparently that's that's the difference maker. But I completely agree. I stand by everything we've said the past few weeks, and I would be fading him versus Denver for sure. And then when they go on the road to Philly, I feel like this is going to be a completely different game.
I did say, again, it's Twitter. You don't know how rumory some of them are. But I saw that the Giants are knocking on the New Orleans door about Chris Olave, which, oh goodness, would that be exciting next year when they're both healthy, him and Nabers. But just speculation.
It makes sense, too, because you've got the rookie quarterback. You've got the contract for the next 4 or 5 years. So you can – and Nabers is still on his rookie contract. So you
can Saints afford, have no money. They have no Saints money.
They have to get rid of somebody. It is so ridiculous. But that would be a great one, too. And Olave might profile even better as a number two receiver, having a stud on the other side of the field, kind of like – I mean, Pickens is showing off right now, but the Pickens and CeeDee Lamb situation was kind of exactly how I would project this to be. But for Dart, that would be awesome.
I agree. I think that would keep him from having to run and use his head as a battering ram, because I think it works for Cam Scatabo, but it won't work for everybody.
Yeah.
Goodness. That kid's skull's got to be, like, just solid.
He's just a badger. Yeah. He's so funny to watch out there. So awesome to root for, but
yeah. Let's talk some running backs. We talked Scatabo, of course. He had the great game, but not as great as, I mean, what should be. I mean, he's clearly the best running back in the league right now. Rico Dowdle, back-to-back RB1 finishes, 183 yards on the ground. He caught 4 passes for 56 yards, pulled in a touchdown. Like, he's doing this on 2 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks, but he's got over 390. Like, it's incredible what Rico's doing. Like, we're going to have a Chuba conversation here soon, right?
Oh, we have to. Yeah. And it's tough to say, but I mean, even when Chuba comes back healthy, they're not going to give Rico 34 touches. No. Like, he's not just, nobody can handle this sort of workload. And we know Dallas is kind of a dream matchup there. Miami the previous week. So, you know, what do you even do? He's played lights out. So revenge game narrative. It was awesome. Good for him. He was let walk out the door from Dallas and signed a 1-year, $3 million contract. So it's somebody you want to root for, but that can't possibly continue.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs is on a bit of a tear too over the last couple of weeks, scoring back-to-back games with 2 touchdowns. He had 4 and 5 catches over the last 2 weeks, but like, it's the 57 yards through the air, the 93 on the ground. He's looking good. I think it's kind of another situation, kind of like the Bills, the Patriots. They have a bunch of wide receivers. They have weapons, but none of them are studs. Like, the studs are the running backs in these situations, except for the Patriots. Don't get it twisted. They don't have any studs anywhere, it seems like.
Not anybody. Yet.
Not yet. But yeah, Josh Jacobs absolutely crushing it. He seems to be just a favorite start target for Jordan Love. So I can't wait to see what else he does the rest of the season.
Yep, love Jacobs.
What about Achane? You got any love there?
Oh yeah. I mean, how do you not? I mean, tough few weeks for him, but this was an awesome performance as well. 128 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns, and then surprisingly, most of his output was on the ground. A lot of his blow-up games come with 50, 60-yard screen passes taken to the house, but just 22 yards receiving, but RB3 on the week going into tonight. That's what you want to see if you drafted him where you took him at his ADP. So good to see him bounce back there. Tua, not so much, but Achane can kind of carry that load there. And Ollie Gordon, not really doing too much. Jalen Wright has been healthy and active. It's all Achane right now.
100%, yeah. Ollie Gordon's nothing more than a stash. And then Kamani Vidal, like...
this is the biggest surprise, yeah.
The back and forth all week, the Haskins, the Vidal, who is it? Where do you go? And honestly, I still don't think we have an answer. I know Kamani Vidal, 18 carries, 124 yards, caught 3 passes for 14 yards and a touchdown, heavily involved. But Haskins had a hustle play out there. Haskins was out there on the field. He was doing some... This could be murky. I'm excited about Vidal. He was the one I picked up the most over the week, mainly because he was the cheaper one. But I still think that there's Breece Hall's name's been whispered everywhere. They're going to add somebody, I think, with this Omarion Hampton news we got.
Yeah, and it's not just going to be Nyheim Hines. But
yeah,
I'm proud that we did lean Vidal last week. We had no confidence in that whatsoever. Neither one of us will sit here and say that we
No, I didn't tell anybody to play like him.
Because if he was the dude, they wouldn't have brought in J.K. Dobbins last year. And if he was the dude, they wouldn't have brought in Najee Harris. And then they wouldn't have spent first-round capital on Omarion Hampton.
Yep.
So he's got this blow-up game. I don't have him listed as a sell here, but if you can flip him right now and kind of tier up with another player, like that is a move I would be looking to make immediately.
I think so, too.
If he's going to get 20 touches, then you can't be too upset, but I still would be trying to make that move.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think we have a clear understanding of this backfield yet, just even with the splits between them where they were. Yeah. Rashad White finishes RB8. He looks to be a good fill-in. Bucky Irving, as of this podcast, got announced he won't be playing next Monday as well, so he looks good to go for at least another week. Ashton Jeanty is cruising. He's picked it up since those first 3 weeks that were so bad. And then Derrick Henry. Pulled in the top 12. Look at that, 122 yards.
Yeah.
8 receiving yards. You love it.
Week by low last week we talked about, but I like to see it. And they got the bye week, and then Lamar comes back. So we'll see what the offense looks like after that. But
and hey, folks, if there's one thing we love, it is a bad defense for fantasy football. So hey, you know, maybe we can get a little Cowboys-Bengals action here with this.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Wide receivers, let's talk some George Pickens with the 168, 9 catches and a touchdown. This guy's not going to be quite this good when CeeDee Lamb comes back, but I think we can still get top 5 performances from him.
Yeah, he's going to get the blow-up weeks, and he's not even getting the focus he won't be getting the focus when CeeDee comes back. Right now, they're targeted in on him, and he's still coming up with these huge games, and I don't even know what's going on. Like, his touchdown was just a slant. And he just ran in between like 5 guys and nobody touched him. And what is the defense looking to stop here if it's not George Pickens on a slant? But yeah, I mean, he was somebody that you and I spoke pretty highly of all offseason into this season, him and Dak. And I felt a little, you know, scared for Dak when CD went down. The offense didn't look good there for like a week, but my God, they are exactly what we hoped they would be for fantasy.
Yeah, Dak, Pickens,
Ferguson,
and Javonte are all, I'm pretty sure, top 5 at their position.
Yeah,
which
and
is...
it's exactly what we said. It was going to be this year's Bengals, and I guess maybe the Bengals will still turn out to be this year's Bengals, but
freaking
right now, man. It's Dallas, and it's exactly what you hope for if you took any of these guys, and you didn't really have to spend any capital on them, which is the best part.
JSN continues to be just the best of the best.
He's awesome.
He is
so much fun.
The team, the offense for them. Kayshon Booty, 5 catches, 93 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Absolutely destroyed Diggs' day because not only him, but I mean, we had Pop Douglas pulling a big deep touchdown. He doesn't do that. Yeah. Like when I realized it was him that caught that, I was just blown away. I'm like, all right, buddy, there you go. There you go.
I know. I just assumed it was Diggs. And we same. Say, there were a few questionable calls in that game too. And Diggs had some big plays called back. He's going to have more chances. I still think Diggs is going to be the number one, but Boudé has played pretty well. And since he kind of fell in the draft a couple of years back.
Jamar Chase, another great game from him. I'm nervous to be like, okay, we're good. We're okay. Just, you know, it's Joe Flacco. I know he starts off pretty good, but like he falls off that cliff.
You got to feel better though.
Better. Yes. Definitely way better than Browning. Yeah. I think there's a chance that you might get a higher floor as far as the stability, but I still think it's going to, like, it was garbage time yet again that got him this.
Yep. But it's fantasy. It's not real football.
This is true. Ladd McConkey, it looks like we're finally back, folks. 100 yards, got the receiving touchdown. Keenan Allen's gone three straight games without a touchdown. He's been three straight games, kind of irrelevant here. I think the tides have turned a bit. QJ, he's gone until he's back from injury.
Yeah, he was definitely gone yesterday. But Ladd is someone we talked about as a buy low last week and maybe even the week before. But the way the offense has shifted, losing both your running backs, losing both your tackles, you just don't have time for those plays to develop downfield, and then it just turns into a shorter passing game. So I'm not too surprised. I'm happy to see it kind of fall this way, and anybody who drafted Ladd in the second round is probably happy as well.
And then Tet McMillan, honestly, probably his most disappointing day as far as just production through the receptions and the, like, only three catches, 29 yards. But he got his first touchdown and his second touchdown in the game. So it saved your fantasy day, pulled in a top 12 performance. And we can no longer scream regression at him.
Yeah, and he's still seeing like minimum 8 targets per week. So you should have him in your lineups.
And honestly, with Coker coming back and Jatavion Sanders, I think that should give him a little, like, it should elevate the offense. Give Bryce Young a few more options. Hopefully we see some better stuff. As far as tight end, I mean, Dallas Goedert's number one, 110 yards, scored a touchdown. It's kind of a shame that he is doing as good as he is this year. Like, the fact that he's played 5 games, he's got 5 touchdowns. When you have AJ Brown, Saquon Barkley, and Devonta Smith, this guy shouldn't be leading your offense. I get it, they're 4-2. They're not doing it the right way.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
It's so stupid.
It's just like they know all the attention is on their actual studs, and they're just making these plays for Goddard. And, you know, they're 4-2. In real football, it's working.
Yeah. Except over the last week, they're 0-2. So if I just hyper-focus on those 2 weeks, it's bad, bad,
and
bad.
We will.
Oh, we will. 100% we will. Trey McBride, Tyler Warren, again, coming in at 2-3. Just the only consistency that I think we really have. And then Sam Laporta, Michael Mayer seems to be a great plug for Brock Bowers.
Yeah, Laporta, beautiful touchdown catch. Mayer looking pretty good out there, coming back from concussion. But if Bowers isn't in, I mean, they should be running 2 tight ends anyway. Mm-hmm. But if Bowers isn't in, seems like he's going to be pretty relevant in the offense.
I'd agree. Let's get to these busts. I mean, we've kind of poo-pooed on Justin Fields already a little bit, but just make sure you guys know he's QB 26 on the week. He is the stinker of stinkers for the quarterbacks.
Yeah, we don't need to go any more into that. And then Stafford, QB 22. Only 9.3 points. Losing Puka definitely had a pretty sad effect on the offense there. And against Baltimore, who's been letting up the most yardage against everybody basically on the season.
This was kind of my...
Yeah, I'm assuming you're going to say he was kind of your sleeper pick of the week. Or two back-to-back top 5 performances, and then coming in against Baltimore.
I was trying to fade him this week just on the fact of, like, I didn't think they were going to need him. Like, he doesn't do it through his legs, so he was going to need a multi-touchdown game, a lot of yards, and I just thought they were going to control the game. They clearly didn't, because it was 3-6 for way longer than it was, but ultimately he didn't need to do what he needed to do to score higher. So, like, this was within the realm of possibility for me.
Yeah, well, then I was wrong, but I did play Kyron in our DK tourney, which played very well for me, and that was the move, yep.
Nice. Running backs, I mean, Javonte Williams disappointed when the passing game was the way it was, and Rico Dowdle was just embarrassing. Javonte on that side, I can get why he didn't want to go out there and run.
Yeah, imagine Dallas if they had just kept Rico and Javonte for 2 1-year, $3 million contracts, dollar contracts. They'd be pretty stacked right now. And Miles Sanders has been out. I know people are hyped about Jaden Blue, but he hasn't done anything. He's barely stepped foot on the field.
Right. Charbonnet, Ken Walker. I don't want to talk about it. I really don't. I just don't want to talk about it.
Right. Well, yeah, we don't have to.
I had to bring them up though.
They were
They
bust.
busted.
Yep.
Judkins, this was my fear also, like before we had the police report stuff, this was my fear for him going into the year. I just didn't know how many opportunities he'd have to really be successful. Proven wrong there for this first month that he was out there absolutely crushing it. These games are going to happen. These games are just going to happen. The game script's going to get out of hand. He's not involved enough in the passing game, but overall he is still immensely talented, so like you still have to look at him as an RB2.
Yeah, I'm still playing him. This is against Pittsburgh, another in division game. We Pittsburgh and in Cleveland, these games never they never score more than like 13 points each. It's just always a slugfest. And yeah, this game was probably overdue. And when you've got your third round rookie quarterback out of the six that you signed in the offseason as your starter, then the offense isn't really projected to score too much.
Right. I mean,
This one was
Dobbins.
sad. Yeah.
Yeah, this
Dobbins again, overdue, probably.
for sure. He was a little too consistent there.
Yep. Jets had a good defense. Denver's offensive line is still amazing. So I think you're still playing him. He had 14 touches. Like you got to still play him every week as a RB2.
And this was an international game, a team coming from Mountain Time Zone all the way to England. So we see weird stuff with these international games. It just doesn't work out. But outside of that, he has been RB 14, 29, 12, 15, 13. It's been the model of consistency.
Yeah, there was no room to run in that game. He was just running into walls every time.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they have walls in their stadiums. It's like arena football. It's so dumb. I'm kidding.
London is weird. They don't understand football.
They don't even drive on the right side of the road. What are they
Yeah, it
doing?
was ridiculous.
God. I mean, Haskins, we kind of touched on
Hoskins.
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Folks, I feel bad for you if that was your pivot. You had somebody go down and you had to swing to it. Wasn't great.
Yeah.
Wide receivers here. I guess we've really kind of touched on all four of them that we have on the list. Garrett Wilson, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, they all had good reasons. Like we said, Patrick Surtain, Keenan has kind of stepped back into reality. Stephon Diggs, it just kind of fell the other way with the other receivers. And Jennings apparently has five broken ribs. And then he also mentioned like two sprained ankles on top of that. So he just might not be startable for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, Courtland Sutton too. One catch, 17 yards. That's not great. I did just get a notification while we're on Garrett Wilson. According to Adam Schefter, hyperextension expected to miss a couple of weeks. So take that information how you will. Like,
That
does
is
it
sad.
do we really want a pass catcher for Justin Fields? They play Carolina and Cincinnati the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, honestly, I have him on a list to talk about later, but that may have to remove him. But
Oh
yeah.
God, that's gross. Tight ends. I mean, you got Darren Waller on the upset. He got a touchdown. He got a touchdown.
Yeah, tight end 60, and so got a touchdown, but still didn't finish in the top 12. So it's kind of been touchdown or bust, but that's what this position is a lot of the time.
Okay, to be fair though, tight end 12 scored 1.8 points more than him. So,
Yeah.
like, when you get into the tight end two, there's not a whole lot of difference between them,
Yeah,
the
that's
12 to 24.
totally fair.
Because honestly, I got crazy and I put Taysom Hill on the tight end streaming, and it was a huge loss. It was a huge, he got touched the ball once, but he got a touchdown with that one touch. So, if you did it, it didn't kill you, but I'll take it as an L.
Yeah, tight ends are rough.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
Kate Otten coming off a blow-up week, despite all the injuries to the team, kind of thought he might be a little more involved, but finished as tight end 19. And then this one's just less is more difficult to explain in Evan Ingram, but tight end 21. Definitely, I didn't see him as the joker that Sean Payton was looking for, but I definitely thought he would be more consistent in this offense.
47% of snaps, Evan Ingram. Can't be a jo- I mean, that is a joke if we're if we're really talking football
Yeah.
here. Oh, it's gross. All right, let's get to the waiver wire here. We have some people that are hurting, whether it be bye weeks, it's injuries, or hey, maybe you just want a little shakeup. Maybe you need a little mix up here on your team. let's head into the waiver wire. Let's start with running backs. If you didn't get on the news, you weren't able to pick him up for whatever reason. Bam Knight, the new quote-unquote starter for Carolina, for the Cardinals. Watch it, Brian. For the Cardinals, him and Michael Carter, I think both of them need to be owned. I think both of them have flex value to them, but like I'm not breaking the bank for them.
No, I think their touches were 13 and 11, so starter probably is going to change at any moment, even in mid-game. So like you said, both are worth rostering, especially with DeMarcado out. But yeah, it's going to be difficult to project who is going to be relevant week to week.
Vidal, we talked about him, Vidal, whatever it is. Go pick him up. You need to pick him up, but I'm not breaking the bank for him. I don't want to get caught in a bidding war after this big explosion. I don't know if it's going to be consistent, and I'm willing to take the risk of, you know, not dropping my 80% on him or whatever.
Totally. Kendre Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all hype of potentially Alvin Kamara, just like we were talking about Chris Olave. That team needs to rebuild. So he could be thrust into a starting role soon, and he's getting some touches, but out of a lot of the people on this list, he's the most likely to be, I think, put into a high volume role sooner than later.
I think he's one of the few that could actually handle it that wouldn't be looked at as a split backfield.
And third round pick, like he was somebody who came in pretty highly touted. It's not some random dude who's coming in as a seventh round pick and just is thrown into this situation. But he's just kind of been faded by Dennis Allen the past few years. And it's been a very weird, confusing situation. But he's looked okay on the field. And yeah, like you said, he's the most likely to get put into this position sometime soon.
Yeah, and I believe, too, I think he was the third running back taken at two, I believe. Like, even though he was a day three pick, it was kind of a weaker class. So I believe he was still taken pretty high. Maybe not. He was eighth. Okay, he was eighth.
Eighth running back?
Yeah, Kenny McIntosh was taken above him. Tajay Spears, Devon Achane, Deuce Vaughn, Zach Charbonnet, Bijan, and then Zamir Gibbs. So if you take out Deuce Vaughn, that was just the Cowboys being Kenny nice McIntosh. To their coaches. Yeah, and Kenny McIntosh.
Wait, when was he drafted? What round?
He was third round.
And they had that many guys taken in the third round that year on day two?
Yeah, I guess so.
Deuce Vaughn, I'm pretty sure, was like a fifth round pick.
Maybe they got him ranked here then. I don't know. We're doing quick analysis here on the computer as we're doing this for folks, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure that's wrong, but we can check it out.
We'll vet that.
anyway, Kenneth Gainwell.
Kenneth Gainwell. I don't think if you need a long-term option, this isn't it, but if you need a plug and play for this week, I think against the matchup against Cincinnati, it's Thursday game, I believe I'd be willing to do it.
Yeah. Even when Warren was in, he was getting goal line touches. Your notes say streaker here, but I'm assuming that means streamer.
Minor streaking streamers is what I call them, you know.
Ah, okay.
Because you go in there just buck wild, maybe a little topless, who knows.
Yeah, he's getting touches. He's on the field. He's getting goal line stuff. So if you're desperate, he's still a good play. And we've seen what he can do if he's got the backfield to himself.
What else do we have here? Tootin, if he falls out there, I mean, a lot of these guys are more like handcuffy, not kind of flex appeal. Tootin, Tucker, Spears, Davis, Mitchell, Samson, Blue, you know, Javonte Williams got nobody behind him now with Miles Sanders on IR. I don't think Blue is going to be a full down back. So if Javonte goes down, Blue won't, like, he's going to be like Woody Marks. He's a great complimentary back, and he's a pass catching back. So that's kind of where the value is in split backfields.
And I would say he's a worse runner. Worse as a rusher as well. Sean Tucker, maybe a deeper name. He had a okay week as well, and he's right behind Rashad White at this time. Tajay Spears is back on the field. Ray Davis, obviously handcuffed. Keaton Mitchell, he's starting to get some play as well. He was kind of a healthy scratch for the first few weeks, but we've seen him have blow-up weeks in the past. So somebody worth monitoring for sure. On to wide receivers.
On to wide receivers. We got a lot of here, folks, so hold tight. Like we said, Ridley could be out. So, Elek Ayemaner, the rookie, if somebody's going to pop up, I believe it would be him. We've seen some blossoming from him, but it's still Cam Ward, still the Titans. They just fired their head coach. is probably going to win this week. That's usually what happens. You know, first game after the firing, something good happens. So maybe he might be a good streamer this week, but it's hope and a prayer.
Yeah, but he's probably the most likely to see 5 to 8 targets on this list. For sure. Yeah,
for sure.
Sterling Shepard kind of thrown in. We talked about the injuries in the Buccaneers wide receiver room. So he's going to be on the field.
Him and both the Johnsons. I don't know who is it going to be. We've got Caleb Johnson, the second-year player, and then Tez Johnson, the rookie. Or Cameron Johnson. Cameron, yeah, Caleb, like Caleb, Cameron Johnson.
Caleb is Pittsburgh.
It's a K. But it's yeah. That's what kills me. Cameron with a K, and then Caleb with a K up there in Pittsburgh. Yeah, Cameron Johnson and Tez Johnson. I have 12 team if you're really that desperate, but I think it's going to be Shepard, Otten, and then Tucker might be more appealing than these wide receivers.
Yeah, those are pretty deep. We've got Booty. I'm a Patriots fan, and I still pronounce his name differently every single time. But
Booty.
Kayshon Booty and Kendrick Bourne, if they aren't rostered, then they're definitely worth rostering. Kendrick Bourne and Mac Jones look pretty good right now.
That's the stipulation. If it's Mac Jones, I'll do Kendrick Bourne.
If it's Purdy, you're out.
I guess.
But who are they throwing to? DeMarcus Robinson is there. Like, it's even Juwan Jennings came back, and it's like you're excited, but then he's rolling around in a wheelchair out there. It's like, what are you going to do? It depends
if Ricky's coming back. If Ricky comes back and we have DeMarcus Robinson, then yeah. Kittle should be coming back soon, too. I don't know. It's a crapshoot out there.
Keep an eye out this week, but Bourne is seeing a lot of targets and performing pretty well.
100 yards in back-to-back games.
Yep.
Jordan Whittington, we talked about Puka Nacua going down. We've seen Whittington, what he's done with his peripheral metrics. It looks pretty good, especially when Nacua is out there. He's the one that would plug in. I know Atwell is going to be talked about a bit, but he is – his over-under is 1.5 catches every single game.
Yeah.
he could hit 70 yards for you, but that's not the game I want to play. Let me get the volume, the catches, and I think it's going to be Whittington. And, of course, Devontae Adams is going to get a boost.
Yeah, I'm curious. We've got Luther Burden here. Certainly somebody worth monitoring. He was a high second round pick. And I feel like sometimes rookies after their bye week, like a game plan, they start getting implemented a bit more and more. We've seen a little bit out of him, but yeah, we'll see. They play tonight, so we can't really speak about this, but I've got him in a league where I need a ceiling performance. And he's just one of those dudes who might, you know, catch a flea flicker for a touchdown or something random like that. But yeah, we'll see. But he's definitely a name and a talent that you should have on your radar.
Yeah, he falls into that realm of you want to have these rookies before they blow up because then you're going to end up fighting for them. Maybe not necessarily plays right now, but like future pickups or future plays. If you do need a play this week, the Bengals get the Steelers. If Calvin Austin's back, I can do some Calvin Austin this week. Like, you can do worse than playing a wide receiver against the Bengals. And the other one's going to be Noah Brown. If he does come back, we almost thought we were going to get him back this week. We didn't. If he comes back, they play the Cowboys next week. So we know the greatness that can come from that. Debo's banged up. McLaurin's banged up. Noah Brown has just as good a chance as anyone. Other names that I think we need to bring up that fall in that like burden category, Trey Harris, the snaps with QJ out. Like, this is a second-round prospect. I was very excited for him until Keenan Allen came in, because at that point QJ was nothing. We didn't think he was going to do anything, and Ladd needed some help. Trey Harris is a big receiver. He should be the QJ replacement if QJ doesn't become it, but again, rookies are going to get worked in more and more. I think he should be picked up, and then Christian Watson as well, but I just can't quit on Christian Watson.
I was going to say, he's your boy. Christian Watson, though, is seemingly primed to come back in the next week or two, so definitely worth a stash. He can give you those blow up games. We've seen that many times. Going to be inconsistent from week to week, but putting him on the field is only going to help that offense more and more.
And I will say, unfortunately, it usually can be up to 4 weeks for these guys to get ramped up from an ACL. So that's the unfortunate part. Yeah. But at the same time, the Packers have one of the best remaining schedules for quarterbacks and wide receivers. And I don't know if we're going to get anybody consistent to step up between Golden, Dobbs, and Reed if and when he ever comes back. So Christian Watson, he's a fast receiver. He's a big receiver. If anybody can give you some explosive games, it's him. And then Lazard and Zay Jones. This is break glass in case of emergency. Their wide receiver ones can be out. Tell the people no if you want to. I'm cool with it.
No, Zay Jones was the guy when Marvin Harrison went down, and you'd expect it to be Michael Wilson. But you know, we'll see. I still would bet more on Michael Wilson being the focal
Same.
Point next week, but he's on the field. He's the next guy up. So if you're desperate, I like break glass in case of emergency is the best way to put it.
Let's talk some quarterbacks here. We've mentioned Dart, Superflex. I definitely just think he deserves to be picked up if you can stash him. Playing him, he's going to be ranked, I think, closer to QB24 over the next couple weeks for me. But there's great quarterbacks come out of nowhere sometimes. So
yeah, and he's got the rushing upside, and that's really what you're looking for if you're, you know, throwing a dart, as they say.
See what he did there?
I like really tried not to say it, but I like lost all train of thought as to where else I could even go. So yeah, here we are.
Nice.
Yep. CJ Stroud, you got next. Oh, Flacco. Yeah, let's talk Flacco.
I guess like Flacco there. He's got a divisional game against Pittsburgh. He plays the Jets. He plays Chicago. You know,
Jets I don't love. Chicago is a pretty good matchup for a streamer. He's just got all the tools around him, and he has shown he can just walk in 3 days later, not know the offense at all, and still put together competent fantasy stats. I don't expect much out of the Bengals, but I think this bumps up everybody in the Bengals in my eyes.
Yeah, I was hoping we got a little bit bigger bump for Chase Brown in this one, but clearly that's just not going
to
happen.
Yeah, and he's tough too because they got down to the one, and it was like, all right, he's got a good chance to score here, and then they immediately go off sides and send him back to the five. And, you know, it's just the team. The team is just...
Zach
tough.
Taylor's the worst. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I mean, Mac Jones, you could do worse as far as the streamer goes.
Yeah. We need to monitor Purdy. I haven't really heard anything for this week, but I feel like he's got to be pretty close to coming back. So if Purdy's in, then I'm not playing Mac Jones, is what I'm saying.
Nice. Who else do you have?
You disagree there?
No, sorry, I was still trying to figure out this 2022 running back situation.
Yeah, other ones, we've got CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, you know, both always going to provide pretty good streaming capabilities, and Young showed it this week. It was nice to see him kind of come out and perform against Dallas, but we'll see once they play a couple more solid defenses.
I got nothing else. Quarterback, it's kind of gross.
Yeah, it is. All these guys are not exciting.
No. Hopefully
tight end.
Got some work. Yes, let's go to tight end. I like me some tight ends.
Harold Fannin, number one on the list. If Njoku's out, he is seeing all the targets on this team. And Gabriel seems to love him already.
That's the stipulation here. We've kind of been off of Njoku and Fannin over the last few weeks, but it's solely because they're eating into each other's work. You take one off the table, I'm all in. I'm all in on Njoku if Fannin's gone. All in on Fannin if Njoku's out. So, like, yeah, give me Fannin. This is the tight end of the future. He's so talented. So freaking talented. I'm loving what I'm seeing from him.
Yeah, he looks good, especially at a position that is historically the most difficult to come in and learn. So, right away, he's stepping up and being pretty solid.
I don't want this one. You can take this one. I still don't want to play him.
Cade?
Yeah, I don't want to play him. Yeah. I know all the wide receivers are out.
Right. You hope for the best. Cade Otton, all the wide receivers are out. He's the healthy man standing. So I do think he's going to see a fair amount of targets. But at the same time, any defense can just focus in on him and force Baker to throw outside to these number 6, 7, and 8 receivers that he's working with.
He's the least sexy player that goes out there and plays more snaps than anybody else. Like, totally. I don't want it. I'd rather go for this guy. Mason Taylor, who kicked you in the, like, he took you down. Well, actually, no, that's not true. Mason, you did decent. Justin Fields ruined our day, but that's not going to happen every time. They're back on U.S. soil this next week, so if Garrett Wilson misses, Mason Taylor will be heavily involved. Like, Alan Lazard, we brought him up, but, like, that can't be a real thing, right? Right?
No.
Right?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think Mason Taylor's a great play. I'll be curious to see his DFS pricing this week. It feels like somebody who's going to see a lot of targets. So I really like that call. And this one, Aronde Gadsden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really like what I'm seeing out of him. He's getting pretty involved pretty quickly in the Chargers offense. And if QJ is out again, then that's only going to help him out. But yeah, touchdowns haven't really come, but he's looked pretty good out there. He's shown good hands. He's got good route running abilities. They hyped him up pretty quickly after the draft and said, like, we have a role for you right away. And they've got some veteran tight ends in there, so he's kind of stepping over them pretty quickly in that offense.
Yeah, 7 for 8 last week, 68 yards. If QJ's out again, they want this is their big-bodied guy. I'm super pumped. They're playing the Colts this week. That means points galore. Let's get it. He may or may not be in the article again this week.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Taysom Hill, going to say it. I'm not going to suggest it, but I'm going to say it.
Yeah, I mean, you can get one touch and one touchdown, or you can get a passing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, and a rushing touchdown in the same game. You can really, there's no higher ceiling or lower floor of any tight end that you could go with. So probably the state of your team, if you're just like, I'm all on bye weeks and I just need some random player to blow up out of nowhere, then he's probably better than your Cade Otton, where you're like, I need 50 yards and 4 catches. Then you're, you know, kind of look at what you need out of the tight end this week and make your call there.
Yeah, if you're down 15 plus points, Taysom Hill's the guy you play. I mean, and then AJ Barner.
Yeah, keeps showing up.
This is another one that just doesn't make sense. But whatever.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Keeps playing pretty well. Had a big, deep downfield catch this week. Elijah Arroyo, kind of nowhere to be seen. And Barner is just taking control.
It's actually the first game he hasn't scored a touchdown in. I mean, he's got 4 touchdowns in the previous 4 weeks. It really doesn't make sense. 2 catches, 1 catch, 3 catch, 3 catch. He had a 7 catch game in there. But, like, he's like Kincaid. He's like a Kincaid light right now. Points are coming out, but it really doesn't make sense when you dig into the numbers. And then Isaiah Likely, folks. They're going into a bye this week, coming out next week. So I don't know if I'd buy him on waiver wire. Wait till Sunday. Wait till Saturday. Pick him up. Like, legitimately, if you can drop players on your team after they've played, you drop one of them that you don't need, and you pick up Likely at the end of Sunday night. Like, it's just – it's the big play there.
Yeah, I love Likely. I've been talking about him since the offseason. Maybe there's a world where Mark Andrews does get traded this year if this team keeps losing. And that's not something we saw. Like, I have him in a lot of dynasty teams just projected to be the starter next year.
Jacksonville.
For Andrews?
Yeah, for Mark Andrews.
With Brenton Strange out. Yeah, a team that's contending and needs somebody to step in there. So Likely could end up stepping into that role. He was the number one receiver in all of the playoffs last year. He would benefit immediately. For Baltimore, I should specify.
Oh, I just meant except for when it mattered most. He didn't catch his last ball of the season.
That was Andrews.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm talking about Likely.
Likely was
the dude. And that was when Zay Flowers was out. So Likely is the beneficiary. If Mark Andrews is out, he immediately steps in. If Zay Flowers is out, he's playing in the slot. He is very, very talented. We've seen it a lot. He's just always been sitting behind Andrews. And he right now has just been out with a foot injury that he suffered in training camp. So if he can come back healthy, I really like him in the offense. Defense isn't stopping anybody. So we're projecting more points and more passing when they come out of the bye here. And Lamar really likes him as well. So definitely somebody I'm keeping an eye out on.
Honestly, I'm really hoping that we get an in-division trade and Mark Andrews goes to the Steelers. Because how fun would it be to see Mark Andrews, Pat Freiermuth, Jonnu Smith, Darnell Washington.
Darnell Washington, who
is the other guy? There was a fourth tight end that was ahead of freaking. Oh my god, it makes no sense. Arthur Smith is a madman and way funnier than I could ever laugh at. Like,
yeah, they're gonna win the division.
It's so stupid, so dumb, so dumb. All right, real quickly, let's do some defenses here. Who do you like most this week?
Yeah, Patriots play Tennessee. You know, like you said, maybe there's some magic with firing your head coach, but no Calvin Ridley, most likely first-time head coach. That also, when they fire their head coach, people forget that, like, somebody else steps into that role, but then other people have to step into all these other roles too. Like, when the Bears fired Eberflus, and then they fired somebody else, and it was like their passing game
Shane
coordinator.
Waldron,
yeah. And it was like the passing game coordinator is now the head coach. But that means every other role in the organization had to be shifted in like midweek as well. So I'm going to take the Pats defense against Cam Ward.
Give me Kansas. Ones, yeah. give me Kansas City, under 50% owned. They've had a nice little gauntlet of lately, but they get Vegas this week. And Geno Smith is, he plays for both teams now, it looks like. He's thrown equally across the board.
Yeah, and Bowers is likely not coming back until after their bye. They have no real reason to rush him out there, so that's also a great play.
Packers also under 50% owned. They get Arizona and Jacoby Brissett. They're just going to be able to get after him left and right. So if no Marv, backup quarterback, I don't mind the situation. All righty. You got anybody else you want to talk about in the waiver wire? We're going to get these buys and sells real quick.
No, let's dive into some buys and sells.
Let's dive into the buys and sells. Buys.
Yeah, first one on my list is now terrible. I felt pretty confident about it coming into this, but midway through this podcast, this has all changed. But my first one was Justin Fields, and it is ugly as you can possibly imagine. And I don't even know if I feel this way anymore without Garrett Wilson, but Fields has had, you know, the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows this year with fantasy. He's got under 5 points against Denver and Buffalo, and then over 27 points in his three other games. Like, you can't, but the thing is, you know when it's going to be good, when that's coming, because Denver and Buffalo are top five defenses and everyone else they played are terrible. And he's got Panthers and Bengals coming up. Those are two amazing matchups. When Garrett Wilson was playing, I felt pretty confident about this one, and I felt like he might be pretty easy to buy. So I don't know. We can move on. But the
argument, is it really a buy or is it just add from waivers? Because he's probably going to get dropped in a bunch of leagues.
I would pick him up and kind of sit there and see and make sure Wilson is out this week, because you never really know. But he really shouldn't be playing. They're fighting for the number one pick, and he will not be a starter next year.
Running back adds. Who do we have here?
I wanted to mention Breece Hall. And again, Panthers and Bengals upcoming. Now we have no Garrett Wilson. You know, I wrote this without Garrett Wilson, but 10th in rushing yards, 7th in receiving yards among running backs, 0 TDs on the year. He's actually playing pretty well, and I think he's just going to keep getting fed. But the worst case, you know, this is another guy like Kamara. He may get traded. They have made no effort to sign him to a longer-term contract. They're a rebuilding team, so it really doesn't make sense. And if he gets traded, it's going to a team that views themselves as a contender, and that could be the Chargers, it could be Kansas City. You know, you look like you have a suggestion here.
Just a point that I brought up when we were talking about the running back ads, I said Davis. That could have been looked at as Ray Davis or Isaiah Davis. Isaiah Davis doesn't need to be picked up. He's Breece Hall's backup in the event that we do get the trade that probably should happen for the Jets. You guys are 0-6. You don't have him re-signed, as Nick just said. So Isaiah Davis would jump into the starting role with Braylon Allen on IR.
Yeah, love that call. Yeah, and there's just no reason. And you sometimes you see these teams hold on to these players, and then they just get absolutely nothing in return. And you're like, what are you doing?
Fifth-round comp pick when you could have traded him for a third.
Yeah, we saw it with Jerry Jeudy in Denver a few years back, where they were offered, they turned down like second round picks, and then they hold on to him, go absolutely nowhere, and then get like a fifth the following offseason.
Brian Burns with the Carolina trading him.
That was embarrassing because that was on Hard Knocks too. And that guy is like the worst negotiator I've ever seen in my life. Go watch that clip. He is the most uncomfortable person, like whispering in the ear, being like, "Would you give us 2 firsts for Brian Burns?" It's like so hard to watch. I was like, how did this guy get this job? Anyway.
Saquon, a couple of old guys, they're not doing great as far as what we're used to. So, yeah, completely agree. If you got people that are fading, freaking out, want to get rid of them, go get them.
Yep. Far as receivers, Olave is 2nd in targets, and he's got 1 target less than Puka. Obviously, a very different outcome so far. But he did have, I think it was like 95 yards this week against the Patriots. And that's with Christian Gonzalez and a decent secondary there. But next few weeks, he's got Bears, Bucks, both very wide receiver friendly. Rams, not so much, but then the Panthers. So he's got a pretty positive schedule. And he as well might get traded to an actual contending team, which could only benefit him. So I shouldn't say only contending. Like, if he goes to the Giants, then... But it's still probably better than Spencer Rattler. I think we can all agree that his current situation is the worst quarterback situation of the 32 teams. So anything should be an upgrade.
Spencer Rattler or Dylan Gabriel?
I mean, we haven't seen enough out of Gabriel, but maybe
we'll I say, have. It comes out of Gabriel's. His left hand. I'm Gabriel.
That is awkward. Gabriel's probably 32, Rattler's 31. And yeah, I'm curious if we'll see Tyler Shuck at any point, but we don't really
they have spent any so much. Not so much, but
just,
like they did.
Why did they draft him there? Just take like a defensive player or anything. But anyway, wanted to throw out. I don't think you're buying Ja'Marr Chase at this point. He's had a couple straight blow-up weeks. Obviously, Flacco is going to hyper-target him. I think T. Higgins and Chase Brown are like true buy lows. And T. Higgins saw 9 targets this week. You know, he's going to find the end zone. He's going to have a few games. This team is going to be playing from behind all the time. If you need like a wide receiver 3 and you've just lost Quentin Johnson or something and you can like kind of pull that off for reasonably cheap, I think there's value there. And Chase Brown, same thing. Like you need a third running back and you've had a couple injuries. P. Ryan had some touches this week, but I still think he's going to be the main dude. He's not going to get less than 10 touches per game. And when it comes to the receiving game, he's still way better than P. Ryan as a rusher and receiver. So I don't like it. The touchdowns are kind of low, but if you just desperately need somebody, kind of a lottery pick. And his schedule is pretty favorable coming up as well.
I don't like it. I really don't like it. I just want to get away from this team as much as I can. But I will say the fantasy matchup or the fantasy playoffs being Baltimore, Miami, and Arizona.
Yeah. And the weeks leading up to it, too.
Yeah, you get Baltimore 2 weeks before the playoffs start as well.
Yeah, a lot of green on his schedule coming up. And I saw a stat this week. I think it was the 67th best run blocking, like the best – I don't even know how to word it. It was like in terms of running backs with their blocking that they've received, he was like the 67th ranked. So it means at least 2 players on every other team has received better run blocking than Chase Brown. They just need to get him involved as a receiver because that's pretty much where he's more electric anyway. And with Flacco, we've already seen them put up more points this week with a short week than they had any other week and against a decent Green Bay defense. So yeah, kind of a lottery ticket. You might be able to get him pretty cheap at this point and just have somebody who could be your RB3 or RB4 down the stretch.
Nice. And then looks like you just got one on the sell side.
Yeah, I think we talked about this a little bit before. It's a little hard to sell anybody at this point with your injuries and the schedule and everything. But I think if I could sell really high on Scataboo, I think I'd be okay with it, especially with the Broncos, at the Eagles the next 2 weeks. He's got a bye in week 14, so he's actually pretty valuable. But that was more the point I wanted to make was this is the time where you start to look at your bye weeks. So when I go to my waiver wire right now, I look at the future weeks as well, and I see if I can make a move right now that is going to fill a position for next week so I don't have to scramble and use on my fab next week. If I can possibly do that and drop somebody who I don't really care that much about, then I'm looking at that. And when it comes to trades, I'm looking at somebody like Scataboo who hasn't hit his bye yet. And I'm saying, how can I turn him into Josh Jacobs who just passed his bye? And I'm just trying to flip that into any way that I can avoid a bye week. And I'm doing that all the time. Like every week I'm looking through and trying to make trades to do that. If I can do a lateral move, I'll often do that. I view Jacobs as a superior move, and it's kind of tough because he's coming off that big game. But that would be like, what can I add to Scataboo that this other team needs that I could flip for Jacobs? And I would be pretty happy about that move. And this is just an example, like kind of play with who you like in those situations. But it was more the point of how I look and view for trades within my leagues.
Yeah, I'm sure most Scataboo owners, where you got him, the hype around him, it'd be hard to get rid of him. But overall, the logic behind it is I'm 100% behind. You know, I'm always trying to flip for a better, higher chance of happening. Because we all know there's always a sliver. Any player can get hurt any given game. Any player can, you know, all these things can happen. So it's always just trying to mitigate and lessen the risk that you have on each one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. That's all we've got. You got anything else you wanna hit before we get out of here?
No, I hope y'all are having a pretty good season so far. I hope you've been able to avoid some injuries, and just we appreciate you guys listening every week.
Dig deep, folks. We're going into week 7. Even if you only have 1, maybe 2 wins, people are checking out, slowly checking out. waiver wires, it's not going to be as heavy on Tuesdays. People are going to slowly pick them on Wednesdays, Thursdays, as the weeks go. Stay diligent. Stay sharp. Follow up. Make sure you're going to the website, checking out all of the great articles we have. We've got Jay, our lead analyst, writing up all of the start sit articles there. We've got people helping out on streaming articles. We've got the What We Saw, all of those amazing things coming at you at QBList.com. Of course, we've got multiple episodes here for you each and every week. We've got Brett and the boys hitting you tomorrow for the episode. And of course, Nick and I will be back on Thursday for our start sit episode. Nick, you got anything for us?
Nope. Have a great week, guys. Good luck.
See y'all later. Thanks for listening.